NJR Home Services, your local heating and cooling experts with thousands of five-star reviews. When it comes to your comfort, trust your home to the local heating and cooling experts. Visit NJRHomeServices.com.
Welcome to Hook, Line, and Splitter, a Jersey Shore Blue Claws podcast. Hook, Line, and Splitter is presented by NJR Home Services. And now, here's your host, Greg Giamborisi.
Welcome back to Hook, Line, and Splitter, a Jersey Shore Blue Claws podcast, EP 43. And today we talk to DLC, Carlos De La Cruz, Blue Claws 6'8" outfielder, who's had a very good year with the Blue Claws so far this season, but he's had an especially good July. We talked to him on the morning of July 28th, and all he's done in the last 2 days in Wilmington, Delaware, is hit home runs in each of the first two games of that series. He had his first Blue Claws two home run game on Saturday against Brooklyn and has 6 of his 9 home runs so far this season in July. Carlos signed with the Phillies in August of 2017. He's our guest today on Hook, Line, and Splitter, a Jersey Shore Blue Claws podcast. Since 1986, Rich Green Lawns has been the leading lawn fertilization company of the Jersey Shore, providing lawn fertilization, bed weed control, tick and mosquito control, as well as tree and shrub programs. Mention this ad and save 50% off your first lawn application. Call or text us today at 732-370-5963. 732-370-5963. Blue Claws are in Wilmington for a few more days. They'll be back home on Tuesday, August the 2nd, to welcome in Hudson Valley, a Hudson Valley Renegade squad that is a little bit lighter now than they were the other day. Two of their starting pitchers got traded on Wednesday night in the deal that brought Andrew Benintendi from Kansas City to the Yankees, Beckway and TJ Sikkema. Sikkema struck out 11 Blue Claws in a relief appearance the last time Hudson Valley was here on July 10th. So that'll be coming up next week. Blue Claws, a few more games in Hudson Valley, in Wilmington, excuse me. They split the first two and will be back home on Tuesday, where they've lost 12 in a row at home. We'll talk about that a little bit more later on. But it was great to talk to Carlos De La Cruz. You know, he has spent a lot of time here with the Blue Claws in 2019. He was an everyday player. That was when the Blue Claws were a low A team. Last year, he finished the season here after playing for Clearwater for much of the early part of the year, which was admittedly a bit of a struggle for him. We'll talk about that. But he played better with the Blue Claws at the end of last year. And then this year, he's having his best season, I think, for sure. And, you know, he even talked about, you know, he wanted to hit 250. And he talked about his approach at the plate and, you know, how he was always, everybody always wanted to get him to play basketball when he was growing up. Went to George Washington High School in New York. And he was a baseball guy. Got it from his dad and his family. And his dad briefly played professional ball as well. So he's a baseball guy. Phillies are happy to have him. And it was fun to talk to him. So let's get to it. Hook, Line, and Splitter with Blue Claws outfielder Carlos De La Cruz. Joined today by Blue Claws outfielder Carlos De La Cruz. We're taping this on Thursday morning, the 28th. Carlos hit homers in back-to-back games. You had two on Saturday. How's everything going? Feel good?
Not that bad. Feeling good. Everything good. Appreciate you for having me. But can't lie, it's been a good week.
And, you know, you had another home runner the last game before the break, another one earlier in July. I mean, you know, you've been a pro now for a few years. Is this about the best month or the best stretch that you kind of feel at the plate? You feel kind of locked in?
I definitely think this is one of the best stretches I've had so far. Everything's just connecting. Can't really complain. Just keep going and looking for a better day each day.
What have you been working on with Ari and some of the other hitting instructors with the Phillies over the, you know, over the season?
Just been working on my approach and just my legs, just staying on my legs, and then just finding the right plan, the right approach for that pitcher, and just trust myself.
When you say staying on your legs, do you mean staying back on the ball and not committing too soon? What do you mean by that?
Not committing too soon. Using them so I can generate enough power, enough leverage. Help me see the ball better. Helps my swing out the most.
You came here in Now, that was low A, obviously, at the time. But you came here to Lakewood for the first time back in 2019. You know, you had played a little the year before in the Gulf Coast League. That was kind of your first full season. You're only 19 years old. How much did you learn from, you know, that first year here with the Blue Claws? And, you know, how do you think you're a better player now?
The process it's been a long ride, to be honest. A lot of journeys, just learning new things every day. Learning how to, each day is a different day, having a different approach for each day. It's just a lot of things come a long way.
What's the toughest part? Is it just the day-to-day grind of everything?
For sure. I think the day-to-day grind is the hardest part, staying there mentally focused each day, not letting something throw you off your game. It's probably one of the hardest thing I've learned from 19.
And, you know, how do you go about not letting one day impact the next day? You know, obviously, when you're playing well, you want to build on what you did the day before that. But obviously there are ebbs and flows to a long season. How do you make sure that if you have a tough day that doesn't carry over? Because obviously things can snowball pretty quickly.
That's true. It's just knowing the difference of it being a bad day and actually it being like bad at bats. It's just you can't let last night depend on the day. Hey, what you're going to do for the next day. It's just working hard, focus. I mean, we're all going to have bad days. It's going to come. You just got to accept it's a bad day and just keep pushing. Keep doing what you got to do.
So you made your pro debut with the Phillies back in 2000. And actually, before we do that, you had two homers Saturday. Have you ever had a two home run game before?
I have. The only time I've done that was in GCL.
So that was your first year in 2018. But you had signed in 2017 with the Phillies, but signed in August. How did everything come together after you finished high school and then you ended up signing with the Phillies a couple of months later?
It was a long stretch. Going through college commitment to doing that, then coming in, adjusting to the system, learning the Philly way, how everything is done. To be honest, but it took some time, but I'm glad I got used to it quick.
How close were you to playing in college?
Probably like 2 weeks before I even signed. So before I signed, I was actually going to college, committed. And then like a week later, I got an offer and then I ended up in the system.
Was that something that you were hoping to get an offer and then you were going to take it when you got it? How much sleep did you lose when you were trying to decide?
Not much. It was just a week long of negotiations and process and seeing what was going to happen. But glad I got the offer because I was not going to reject that offer. I was trying to get in the system and trying to play pro ball.
So you've been an outfielder until this year, and you still play mostly in the outfield, but you played a little bit at first base. Had you ever picked up a first baseman before, or had you always been in the outfield?
Yeah, I have. I was an infielder years ago until I got too tall, so I had to move to outfield. But going back to it, it was weird. It was a weird sensation because I hadn't been there yet, so it was trying to get back into the rhythm of being an infielder again and just learning everything that I had to learn in the process.
But I guess you're going to play – I don't know. Well, Rickson went on the – IL yesterday. Hopefully he's not out too long, but I guess you might be back playing a little more first base if he's not healthy.
Yeah, that'll probably happen soon.
So obviously the first thing that stands out when you look at you on the field or look on the roster sheet, 6'8", and we talked about this before, but one of the first questions that people I'm sure have asked you is, did you ever play basketball? But you were always a baseball guy.
I was always a baseball player. Basketball was like more of a hobby. In school, coaches did try to recruit me to play basketball. Didn't work out. Just into the baseball side, and thank God I have.
Where did you get the love of baseball? From your family?
My family. Dad was a pro ball player, but family mostly.
When was the first time you picked up a glove?
Early age.
Like four or five. So, how tall were you when you were a freshman in high school?
Freshman in high school, I was 6'4", 6'5".
So you still tacked on a few more inches throughout high school, yeah.
Yeah, throughout high school, I got taller. And then, which I'm pretty happy about.
It's funny that when you hit a home run and you round the bases and you high five Keith and you got a foot on him, or 13, maybe 14 inches.
I try not to stand so much next to him so he won't look too short.
Squat down a little bit when you high five him.
Gotta show him some love.
So, you went to George Washington High School. They have a pretty lengthy history of alums. Manny Ramirez, among others, played there. People in music and politics. What was your baseball career like in high school? What do you remember most about it?
How much fun we had. High school baseball was so fun. This year reminds me more of my high school years because I'm having fun just playing out there, worrying about just playing baseball, nothing much. Pretty fun. Pretty group of guys I had. Wouldn't change that experience for anything.
All right, so you mentioned and Rod Carew, by the way, played there too. So did they talk about that a lot? Rod Carew is a Hall of Famer.
He's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Yeah, Manny.
Have you ever met him?
Manny, no, I haven't.
Carew?
Not either.
No, okay. But do they talk about that in high school? Like, hey, you're sharing the same field? You're sharing the same...
They mentioned Carew a little bit, but not as much as Manny. Since we're, like, in the Hispanic, like, more of a side of town, that's the mostly name you're going to get, the big name you're going to get from that.
And you were a Red Sox fan, right, growing up?
Yes, sir.
In New York. How'd that happen?
It's surprising. There are a lot of Boston fans in New York, more than people actually know. So,
Who were your favorite players growing up?
Oh, come on, Manny.
Manny, yeah.
Sure. Poppy's another one.
Did you watch his Hall of Fame? Did you get to catch any of his Hall of Fame?
I couldn't.
I mean, yeah, we had the game, but... You got to watch it after the fact. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I have to.
So you mentioned that playing this year, a lot of fun, like high school. So I guess that kind of reflects there on Keith a little bit. What do you like about playing for him?
Oh,
playing
is one of the best things. He's pretty chill. He just lets you be you on the field. He's gonna. Like, mentor give you a couple of advices, a couple of tips here and there, but Keith is, like, the man. He just lets you be you and play ball. That's all he wants, play ball.
So, to back up until last year, I know you started in Clearwater. You got up here by the end of the year. It seems like you've made a lot of strides, even we talked about from 2019. When you were here, but what about from 2021? How are you a better player this year than you were last year? And certainly the numbers say that you're at a much different level right now.
This year is just trying to focus on what I can control. Go play ball. Whatever's gonna happen is gonna happen. It's supposed to happen. You're playing baseball. Not putting so much pressure on myself. It was another thing, just relax, do your thing, trust yourself. Your abilities are there. Don't do too much and just play ball. I mean, that was one of the most, like, one of the main things I had in my mind, which is forget about everything, go out there and do your thing. Whatever happens, happen.
Did you find that you were pressing in years past and kind of more laid back mentally this year? Is that fair to say?
Yeah. I'm more, like mentally-wise, it's just, like, more laid back. Keeping my focus there. My focus can't go. Just the day-to-day grind. It's going to be there, but you still got to focus on that 7 o'clock. That's pretty much helped me a lot.
Pretty much. 5 o'clock today, you got to play two. So, you know, at 6'8", you have, compared to a guy like Ethan, who's probably 6'2", Ethan Wilson, and your strike zone is going to be a lot bigger.
Mm-hmm.
You have a lot more ground to cover in that just because you're taller. Is that a challenge? You know, is that notable for you? Is that something that's been difficult, at times, and you've kind of had to adjust to because you have to cover such a big zone?
It depends. It depends. Depending, like, who's back there, like, they adjust their zones to me. But pretty much, I don't let that affect me, to be honest. I'm just looking for a good pitch to hit, and if I get it, I get it. Try not to miss that pitch.
Anyway, you talked about Manny and David Ortiz before. Was there a guy that you kind of like to model your game after? Was it those two, or was it somebody else?
Honestly, I'd say nobody. I just try to create my own craft because I'm a big player. So I honestly, like, I can, like, Winfield, Carew, like, I can, like, similarize to them because I'm as tall as them, but not really. I just try to be myself, create my own things, see how that works.
What goals did you set for yourself coming into the season?
Try to hit above 250 was one of my goals, for sure. And then after that, whatever happened, I was mostly focused more on my average this year than more than homers and RBIs. Trying to get, like, a good average and then play ball. Depending on how that went, everything else was going to show up.
So when you go in the box, what's your general approach? You know, how much work have you done looking at the pitcher? Do you try to watch at bats from your teammates, you know, hitting, when they come up before you in the lineup? You know, what's kind of a general approach, and how has that evolved over the years?
Well, my approach is on my previous at bats against that pitcher. How did he pitch me? What pitches did he like? What's his good pitch? And just looking for a good pitch. Looking for a good pitch in the zone to try to get a good cut on it.
And then drive it wherever you can.
Wherever I can.
What's the other night you hit two homers in back-to-back innings, which was kind of cool. We were talking about that a little bit on Sunday morning. What's that feeling like when you have the second one?
Oh,
it's one thing to get one, but it's getting two is pretty darn tough.
It's a pretty good feeling, to be honest. At first, I couldn't believe it. Then when the umpire called home run, it was like, okay, I got a second one. And it felt pretty good, to be honest.
So the two you hit on Saturday, the first one, as long as it stayed fair, which it did pretty safely, was no doubt about it. The second one to dead center, you know, you have that padded wall and then you have the chain link fence. And we weren't sure, but, you know, you've played here long enough. You know, obviously, you know, the ground rules here pretty close. When, you're probably give or take at first base or approaching first base when it gets out there. Is your first call is look out for that umpire?
When that happens, typically, yeah, I look for the umpire so I can make sure if it's a double, if not a homer.
When you're out there playing the field, is it easy to tell? Because, you know, the umpire's not as close as the outfielder is, but, you know, sometimes they can be a little tricky on those balls. But you can tell. Can you tell easy when you're playing the outfield and a ball gets hit like that? The borderline ones between the fence and the pad?
We are playing here for almost 3 years now. I have that pretty pegged down for now. You can probably tell.
Did you think the one you hit got over? It was close.
I think it got over. It just hit the fence and then it hit the padding. So yeah, that's why I thought it was a double.
Yeah, it was pretty close. But it's funny because, like, you're rounding third or you're rounding second, going to third, and they threw the ball to Palmer, the third baseman,
mm-hmm.
and you turn and point at the umpire. And what'd you say? You pointed at him.
Palmer had the ball in the hand, and then I look at him like, just look at the umpire, and then he just started laughing. He was like, I know. And then I just kept going.
Yeah, you got him on that one. Yeah. So you were here in 19 when they had the much different scheduling system, and that summer you guys probably bust 13,000 or so miles. This year it'll be in the 2000s. And then the super long trip was Bowling Green. Got on a plane for that one. I think you're going to take a bus down to Greensboro in a couple of weeks, and that'll be the only, you know, more than 3 hour bus trip in 2 years that the Blue Claws will take. So how much does the new scheduling set up the straight Monday off days? How much, you know, having, cause you went through the tough one, and, you know, obviously the up here in the old Sally League, that was about as tough as it got for any team in all of minor league baseball. Yeah. How much difference does that make for you guys as players and helping you stay, you know, as fresh as possible over the long summer?
I think it helps a lot, honestly, because when you are not used to, when you don't have to go through those 13 hours, 14, 12, like more than eight, and having to play that same night, I think it's great. And more of a flying too, out of state, pretty amazing. You can stay as fresh than a couple years back. Because we were doing a lot of more traveling than baseball, I think.
You do a 4 day, like 500 miles, play 3 or 4 games, come all the way back, no day off on either end, or, you know, some of those shows, 850 miles. Even if you get a day off, 850 miles is still 850 miles.
I appreciate the day off you get. Appreciate you guys.
Yeah, that was the other thing. So now you get the every Monday off. That's nice too, right? And then you get usually day games on Sunday.
Pretty nice. Love it.
What is what's your favorite Jersey Shore spot to hit now that you have more nights off from here?
Honestly, I haven't gone out as much in Jersey, because if anything, I just go back home. So that, yeah, not that far. But I've only been to, it's a surprise, I've only been to the beach once in my 3 years I've been in Jersey. So it's pretty weird.
That is weird.
It's weird. I don't get much out in Jersey. I mostly go back home, if anything.
You're a city guy.
Yeah, I'm more of a city guy.
Well, Carlos, I appreciate a few minutes. I know you got to get going. You got a meeting here, and then you got two ball games tonight. So we wish you the best of luck, continued success, and keep up the good work. We'll see you soon.
Thank you. Appreciate you for having me.
Thanks to Carlos de la Cruz for a few minutes. It was really great to talk to him. He was great. He's been playing well, and it was great to have him on Hook, Line, and Splitter. Blue Claws fans, the Phillies' future is here with MILB.TV, with all home and most road games available on MILB TV. Stream live. The only way to watch the Blue Claws is on MILB.TV. Subscribe today to watch over 6,500 games, including all available playoff games from over 100 minor league baseball teams, live or on demand. Download the MILB First Pitch app from the Google Play or Apple App Store to watch on the go. Use the promo code BLUECLAWS at checkout and save $10 on a yearly subscription. Visit MILB.TV for details today. Blue Claws have a couple of more games this weekend in Wilmington. Ben Brown is going to pitch game two of the doubleheader tonight in Wilmington on the 28th. So you probably won't listen to this till after he pitched. But Brown was the Sally League pitcher of the week for the week that ended July 17th. He struck out 13 Aberdeen Ironbirds over 7 two-hit scoreless innings. Just fantastic. And Ben is striking out around 14 batters per 9 innings since the beginning of May. And he has a sub-3 ERA from that point as well. And I don't know, to be perfectly honest with you, I don't know how many more starts he makes with the Blue Claws before they send him up to Double-A. He will turn 23 coming up too in a few months. Mick Abel will pitch Friday, Andrew Painter Saturday. Painter made his second start in Lakewood last Saturday and was one defensive miscue away from 5 innings, 1 run. I wouldn't say he was his dominant self that he'd been in some of his other starts, but it was certainly a good outing. And Mick Abel, of course, forms the duo there with back-to-back Phillies first-round picks pitching on Friday and Saturday nights for the Blue Claws here this season. Next week, Tuesday game at night. Wednesday's a morning game, 11:05. Thursday with $2 Coors and Coors Light cans in the sandbar and stadium-wide. Friday is Star Wars night, presented by NJR Home Services. Post-game fireworks there, too. Saturday, another night game, 7:05. Sunday, 1:05, with all the kids' festivities. Kids are on the bases thanks to Children's Specialized Hospital. Members of the Jenkinson's Boardwalk Blue Claws Kids Club eat for free thanks to Sabret. Dogs are welcome as well, thanks to AmeriHealth. Blue Claws have 18 home games coming up in the month of August, but in their third to last home game of July, they eclipsed the 8 million fan plateau. 18-year-old Kristen Palmer, recent graduate of Homedale High, was the 8 million fan in Jersey Shore Blue Claws history when she came through the gates at about 20 after 6 on Friday, July 22nd. She was one of 8,706 fans on hand in Shoretown that night, which was the biggest crowd of the year and the biggest crowd, in fact, since the last game of the 2019 season, which was a 10,000-person crowd that night there in 2019. So, Hook, Line, and Splitter, episode 43. Lightstar Energy Group, a leading energy brokerage firm headquartered in New Jersey. Our goal is to provide clients with a premium energy management services to lower electricity and natural gas costs and to provide a long-term energy management strategy. We pride ourselves on bringing each and every individual business the same benefits of deregulation enjoyed by universities, municipalities, and all high-volume energy users. Tailored products and contracts, lower cost, personal attention, and outstanding service. Call us today at 732-722-5880, 732-722-5880, to learn more about Lightstar Energy Group today. Trade deadline is Tuesday the 2nd. Obviously, the Phillies will be interested shoppers. We'll see what happens. And we'll see you then here in Shoretown. Tuesday, August 2nd, Blue Claws in Hudson Valley. For tickets, call 732-901-7000, option 2, or log on to blueclaws.com. This has been Hook, Line, and Splitter, episode 43, a Jersey Shore Blue Claws podcast. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody. We'll see you soon, and go Blue Claws!